Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Right now, we're talking about growing, and we're hoping we will be able to grow this week in our GROW model. We're talking about risk and retirement, balancing security and growth. And our guest is Patrick Mthari, who is a financial advisor who'll be giving us some perspective. Retirement is something that we need to talk more about. Retirement planning is often a delicate balance between security and growth. That's what we're told by those who know better. Do you play it safe and protect yourself and you protect your nest egg? We want to find out what all of this jargon is all about. We need to get into these conversations with these experts to help us understand. We need to calculate risks for potentially greater rewards. We need to learn how to do that. And that's why we're having this conversation today. And going forward, you'll be hearing conversations of this ilk. Today, Patrick Mthari joins us on the line to give us some perspective. Patrick Mthari, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, sir. It's my absolute pleasure. What a song to welcome me with, you know. I felt the blessings that I put there.
You know? I'm glad you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it as well. It spoke to me. I just spoke to you. I'm happy it did. Thank you very much, sir. So, first and foremost, just talk to us. Just give us definitions. When we talk about risk and retirement, you know these words, some of us who are not as educated as you people, we don't know what exactly you're talking about because risk is negative for us. But it's a necessity for us to appreciate what we're talking about before we get into our conversation. So talk to us. What exactly are we talking about when we talk about risk and retirement?
Alrighty. So I think over the past decade or so that I've been in this game, I think I came up with a simple way to explain it, you know. So I would say, imagine it's the next December, you're planning your trip to Cape Town,
right?
Or from Cape Town to Joburg, right? So, and then you need a car to travel in, you know?
Right.
So that's where the element or the concept of risk comes from, you know? So you can play it safe and get yourself a 1 liter, but I think you'll struggle along the way, you know? Mm. But then if you got a better car, which yes, will chow fuel, but you will get there faster and more comfortable, you know.
Yeah.
So that's my take on risk, you know. So in simple words, I know I spoke about cars and petrol. So in simple words, we say that if you want to go far, you have to pour the petrol,
right,
you know. So
right.
Take the risk, you know.
Okay.
If you have if you have a short distance to travel, then you don't have to get a 3 liter,
yeah.
You know. Yeah, you can just travel lightly, you know. So
yeah.
That's where I think I can make it simple, you know, something we can, yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
then there's words that are used like security and growth.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm talking about retirement, it means I'm a grown man. What are you talking about? Security. I put a lock on my own door. So just put these terms in context. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. So in terms of retirement, I just want to put you at ease and tell you that it's just a tax event, you know.
Yeah.
It mustn't scare you. It mustn't scare you at all. It's just a tax event. By that, I mean you can choose to drop a tax rate. So you are in retirement, so you're earning less, or you can choose to keep your same tax bracket or even go higher. So it's not like people are going to close curtains at retirement, you know.
Right,
it's just
right.
We're just saying that there's young forces,
yeah.
So younger people in the workforce, so let's give them a chance because they can run faster, you know, that type of thing. So thank you so much for your service. Go sit home with the grandkids,
yes.
Ideally.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
That's how we see retirement. But it's not the case, especially in the environment that one finds themselves operating. You know, you
right.
Find that companies or corporations want you because you've got wisdom. You've done this thing over years, you know. So retirement is just a new job title, man.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's not the end of the world, you know. So I wanted to Say that because most people think, oh, this is it, you know. And then number two, when we save for the future, you can imagine this, hypothetically speaking, if everything we ever dug in the soil to cultivate later, by that definition, the later time will get something bigger than what we put in. So in terms of growth, that's what we want to achieve. You know, when I say the seed that you plant when you're young, we want you to get more fruit from it when you're older. So that whole concept is referred to as growth, you know. And then security, people will tell you, your markets are not safe, you know, I hear people lose money, wara wara wara. At a point in time in all stock markets, equity markets, there is an element of risk, right? But over time, if you know how to play the game, it's fairly safe.
All
Yeah,
right.
so those are my starting shots.
All right, let's get into the nub of the issue now. What are the most overlooked risks in retirement planning, and how can they be mitigated?
So that question, at first it sounds simple to answer, you know. So I thought let's do justice to it. So I spoke to a couple of people who are more than happy, I call them my mastermind, who are more than happy to share their experiences, you know. So I spoke, it's not a lot, about 10, but I think it 10 plus the desktop research and our experiences, I think it gives us a good background. So this is what they say, right? They say, you know, the impact of inflation, we underestimated, you know. We all talk about it, inflation, inflation. Bread is now $20. My grandfather told me he bought it at 2 rands, you know. So it's just that simple thing. It's one thing that people overlook. In a sense that when I speak about people, let's say for retirement, they'll say, what's the minimum there, you know? So the minimum just ticks off one box in your head to say, at least I'm saving. But are you keeping up with inflation? So I find a lot of people when they get to retirement, the money that they've saved in anticipation that it will carry them through, it's not in line with inflation. It doesn't take care of their lifestyle. That's the one risk. And then I found a candid response of the other overlooked thing. You know, is that as we grow older, we are overconfident about our ability and capacity, you know. And then old age tends to take over, you know. And then we're not so fresh no more. We can't work as long hours as we did when we were younger. So he says, people, it's a risk that most people don't want to see. You know, you often hear people say, I'm a part-time farmer, I'm a part-time this. When I retire, this is the hustle I'm going to start, you know. But then they forget that there's no energy sometimes to do that, you know. So it also came with suggestions to say that maybe we should groom and delegate along the way, you know.
So you're talking about inflation. You see these words, they just make my mind run and hide. What is inflation now? And how do we calculate inflation in the future? I mean, I don't know what inflation is now in the year 2025. How am I going to know what inflation is going to be like when I retire?
So, all right. So, inflation, I'll go back to my example with my grandfather, and myself. So, he asked me, how much is how much is a loaf of bread now? Some places you get it at 20 rands. Same loaf of bread. Some argue that it's smaller. He used to buy it at 2 rands. So, the next question, excuse me. So, the next question then is that then what happened? For bread to stop costing, so it moved from costing 2 rand now to move to 20 rand, you know. So that phenomenon that happened there, I explain as inflation, you know. The purchasing power of your money, it's in fact affected by that. So economists will give you a more a technical term. You can read it up, go to Google, check it out. But if I were to tell you what inflation is, it's the purchasing power of your money. Another example, we live in a world now where we're all driving. Yes, some people use public transport, I'm aware of that, but most people are buying cars. You also often hear that new Mercedes-Benz C-Class Which is probably above what most people, but let's talk a Corolla. A Corolla Sports, back in the day, a Corolla RXI, you'd pay 150,000, 200,000, you know? And that was like top of the range. The same brand, the same car with a smaller engine in 2025, top of the range, the Corolla Sports hatchback, you'll pay in excess of $1 million. That phenomenon there, from 200,000 to in excess of $1 million, attributed to inflation.
Okay. And is there a simple way for unlearned people to calculate inflation for when I retire? I'll be retiring in 10 years' time, 15 years' time. How do I calculate inflation in 15 years' time?
Okay. So from this, I've also got from some of our clients. So the simple rule of thumb that they use, they take the average increases of things. So if you are likely to be employed, you'll take your average salary increases over time between 3, 6, some if you're like 9%. You'll see price of bread, as I alluded to say it was 17 rand, 18 rand, you know, so there's a 6% there. So the general price of increases, I think that's a safer one compared to what stats show, you know. So stats will, in my opinion, show a lower inflation number of around 6 point odd. But I don't think it's the true inflation in the ground, you know.
Right.
I think then from an investment point of view, I would say then let's say 7%, you know, 7% will maintain your purchasing power of the purchasing power of your money, you know. So in the long term, if you've got 100 rand and it's comfortable for you, or rather if you've got 1 million rand and it's comfortable for you, in 15 years, you must take that million, multiply it by 7% over the years, you know, and then that cumulative percentage, it's the money you should have at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how does your risk tolerance change as you transition into retirement? And don't forget to explain what risk tolerance actually is.
Okay. So, alrighty. So the rule of thumb, or there is a school of thought rather, to say that risk tolerance, it's intertwined with time horizon, you know? So they say, the longer you have to stay in your investment. So if you are a brand new parent saving for a child's varsity education in about 18 years time, that's a long time. So that's a long time frame. So based on the school of thought I alluded to, then you should assume more risk, right?
Okay.
So yeah, but then in terms of risk tolerance, so risk tolerance, if you may, I'll explain it better now, but risk tolerance, I remember a very learned client of ours as well. So he said to me, I give actually the investments a risk.
Okay.
You know?
So
yeah, simply put, he doesn't want no heart palpitations. He doesn't want all his heart. You know, so that's how he checks risk tolerance, you know. So he wants something that will be gentle to his heart, you know. So if you tell me, say, that your heart is fine, you know, even if markets crash, when the world leaders are taking over new territories, bombing each other there, it will have an effect on markets, you know. It usually does when there's another boogeyman on the horizon, similar to COVID-19. I'm not sure if it's that, but we don't know the effect of it. But if it's anything similar to what we saw when COVID happened, it will have an effect on it, you know?
Right.
So then, are you okay then with me calling you one day to say, hey, Moren, the stock that you have has dropped by 50%, you know, will your heart handle it, you know? So, yeah, that I suggest to me, no, it's not your cup of tea, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah, risk tolerance is your ability to handle whatever movements in that market, you know? So, but in the same breath, I must say that as much as I made it sound scary, scholars of the markets will tell you that that's probably the most efficient way of making returns in the market. You invest for the long time, wars will come and go, events and boogeymen will come and go, but at the end of the day, the fundamentals of economics will stay, you know.
Right.
People will demand the product, and suppliers will supply product, and based on that, markets should move, you know.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So should younger individuals embrace more investment risk? Why or why not?
That's a topical one. Generally, yes, back to that point I said, to say usually the longer you have in terms of time. So let me put it in context. So as a younger person, you're probably between 26 and 35, right? A youth, So, or even younger than 26, but I'm talking about young people that work generally.
Right.
Yes, I'm aware this. Yes. So those people will probably sit in the market. They probably have 480 paychecks there. So they probably have 40 years maybe to work, you know, to be economically active, right? So if you've got 40 years to work, and people say over every 10 years or less markets crash and come back, you can ride it four times, you know.
Okay.
So yeah, the turbulence, it's not purely an investment term. The same turbulence that we experience when we on a flight, it's the same turbulence that investment markets go through.
Right.
So yeah, we can weather that turbulence with time.
Okay.
Right. So to answer your question, yes, young people should take more risk tolerance, more risk in terms of their investments, but not risk as in risky.
Yes.
Risk as if risk as
not
if,
risk as in irresponsible.
Irresponsible.
It must be calculated. Yeah.
It must be calculated.
Right,
so yeah.
Right.
It must be calculated. Yeah. So but then I would also argue to say that unless you got the formula right, even old people should have a portion of their investments in risky investments.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because remember, the inflation we spoke about, 7%. So if you say, no, I'm old, I want cash investments, I just want the 6% return, because that's what things go up with if you're in the rental market, you know, unless if you're in certain suburbs, but mostly it's 6%, 7% there, right? So if all you have is that, and you are throwing, say, 10% every month, there is a shortfall there. Of 3%, you know. So that's why if you speak to some old people, I'm fortunate to speak to people on all spectrum, you know, so they tell you that, Isha, I know these retirement, some of them, these retirement products, are not true. I could only get money for 5 years, you know. But that's because you are throwing more than what you are earning.
Okay.
Hence, I say you should invest in a more risky class.
Right, right, right.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk diversification. Please don't forget to explain what diversification is. How can diversification help retirees balance risk and reward?
Okay, so diversification is just a term coined by the linguists of the time, you know.
Okay.
But the act of diversifying, I think, predates even modern time by many, many years, you know.
Okay.
If you read up on wise farmers, they tell you that way, way back in the, it'll be wise to have four patches, for example, to plant a similar crop, you know, because you never know if locusts will come for this one. At least I've got three other ones, you know. So diversification is just an act of saying, if I've got a basket and I was collecting eggs,
right,
I would be foolish in putting all my eggs in this one basket. So
right,
it is best to have a couple of baskets that I can put eggs. So if anything happens to this basket, at least I'm not at loss of all my eggs.
Right.
So
right,
that's my layman's explanation of diversification.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how does this help retirees balance risk and reward?
Okay, so diversification is actually even a theme that is promoted by our government in terms of the Pension Fund Act, you know.
Yeah.
So if you and your listeners find time, just Google Regulation 28 or call your advisor, financial advisor, to explain what Regulation 28 is. So Regulation 28, it's a regulation under the Pension Fund Act, you know. So it says, back in the day, people used to love a stock, you know. So right. If you're a charismatic presenter for SIT Media, you can tell people invest in this thing. We will throw our eggs in our one basket, and then something happens, we lose, you know? Yeah, okay. So they've seen that. They've seen that the prudent authority has seen that over time. The most closer one to my memory is 2008.
Right.
There was Triple M, if you recall. So there's a lot of schemes that made our lawmakers wiser. So they said, no. Let's have Regulation 28 in terms of an act to say, if you are offering a retirement product, you cannot have more than 75% of people's money in equity or, for lack of a better word, stocks, you know. So you can't have all your portfolio constituted of shares.
Okay.
Because if the share market drops, that's it, you know. So you have to have 75% shares, and then you have to have 25% listed property.
Yeah.
So back in the day, people used to have 100% in listed property because we were told that property is king. But then COVID happened, no tenants, no activity, we're all working from home. What happened to the demand for rental property? It dropped. So if you had your eggs in all that basket of property, you'd have been at a loss, right? So Regulation 28 says, no, we're limiting that exposure to 25%.
Right.
And then there's 10% hedge funds, more learned investors and affluent investors, and then 30% offshore. So you always hear this thing of offshore. You can take 30% of your actual money offshore of retirement, you know. So the idea behind Regulation 28 was to reinforce the idea of diversification. You say, no matter how hot a stock sounds, we can put all our eggs there.
Okay, final question, I'll let you go. Yeah. Is it possible to completely eliminate risk in retirement planning? Or is it some level of risk always present?
Yeah, that one is a tough one, because people that have played the game will tell you that risk is a fundamental element of markets, right? Mm. So it's always there, it's always present. We don't know what world leaders, business leaders, or even the climate or has in store for us, you know. So at a point in time, there is element of risk. So by that I mean, if I start my 500 retirement annuity, and then I save it, and then at retirement towards 60, it's all in one fund, and that fund collapses, I'm in trouble. I'll be a poor retiree, you know.
Right.
I'll have to ask for my kids and others, you know. But then, so yes, there is element of risk always, but there are strategies and safeguards to eliminate it, or rather to mitigate it to an acceptable level.
Right.
For example, when we start, it's advisable to go maximum aggressive, you know. So as I said, within the confines of Regulation 28, so younger me starts a retirement annuity, we pour petrol, we need a 3 liter, we're driving from Joburg to Cape Town, you know? We're not like an oldie who's in Bloemfontein who's going to Joburg, you know?
Right.
Yeah, so that's how we mitigate it. We say when we start, we hoy a 3 liter, but when we're closer to the destination, then we can say, hey, this 3 liter is chowing petrol, man, you know? So to eliminate the risk of petrol chowing my investments, let me put this money that I've saved thus far in a safer strategy. So my colleagues and everybody else will tell you about a two-tier investment strategy. That's exactly what I just referred to, sir.
Got it. Loud and clear. Thank you very much, sir. Really appreciate your insights, your explanations. I'm hoping we are listening, because retirement does catch many people off guard. And by the time it's too late, you really don't have any money to put in anywhere, any basket. So it is always wise, as soon as you get the information, you start your retirement planning. Patrick Mhlari, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for your time and your listeners' time. I hope to chat to you soon.
Absolutely.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.